Health and Fitness Talk Show. I'm Health Integration Specialist Lena Berman. I'm here live with you Tuesdays at 2, talking to you about healthcare and fitness trends and taking your calls. Today's show is the second of two shows about our skin. Today I'll be interviewing Joni Loughran, author of Joni Loughran's Natural Skin Care, Alternative and Traditional Techniques. Well, why am I doing shows on the skin, huh? I'm doing these shows about the skin because of how it reflects very directly the health and the lifestyle of its owner. We live our lives on the surface of our skin as we age. There are people who, even though their skin has a very lived-in quality, there's so much character and laugh lines and life on their face that it's like a comfortable piece of upholstery and actually very gracious and wonderful. But anyway, all of it is there on the skin. The skin is an expression of how all our health systems are connected up. All our states are reflected on the surface of our skin, our feelings, how we care for ourselves, how much we rest, the state of our diets, immune function and allergies, and whether our hormones are in balance. Last week we learned that the skin can be a very important first layer diagnostic tool. Unusual skin eruptions can signal the early stages of a disease process beyond those that affect only the skin itself. Hormonal imbalances express themselves on the skin. Some of them we've discussed are things like dry skin and hair loss can sometimes warn of impaired thyroid function or hormonal imbalance. Blemishes and excessive oiliness and hair loss often occurring when male hormones are abundant or out of balance, especially when these symptoms occur in women. Many afflictions of the skin, like psoriasis and eczema, have been linked to impaired gastric function, food allergies, and vitamin deficiencies. In Joni's book, she mentions how our nails reflect health problems. Examples like thickening of the nail can be a symptom of arthritis. Bluish nails indicate a possible heart or lung problem, and pale nails are often a sign of anemia. Maybe caring for the skin is caring for the whole person and not just an exercise in vanity. Many years ago, someone asked me whether I didn't think that lifting weights, you know, bodybuilding, was the ultimate materialism. And my response was, I said I thought it was just good maintenance of our vehicle. A client sent me a quote recently that I keep on my desk. It's from Henry David Thoreau. He said, and I quote, "I am convinced that to maintain oneself on this earth is not a hardship but a pastime if we live simply and wisely." It's with this thought that I invite you to explore beneath the surface of our skin by looking at it closely. A reminder to those of you who may want to get a tape of today's show, or, you know, who need to get hold of me during the week, you can call me during normal business hours at 707-769-1458, and as usual, I'll give that out at the end of the show as well. We'll go till about 2:30 with Joni, and then we'll open up the phone lines, and that number is 510-848-4425, and that's at 2:30. So let me introduce Joni. Are you with us?
I am.
Oh,
hi, Lena.
Oh, goody. Joni Loughran is an expert in natural skincare with 22 years' experience as an educator, an author, a practitioner, and a consultant. She has a doctorate degree in health sciences and is a licensed cosmetologist with advanced training in European aesthetics and aromatherapy. She has a private practice in Sonoma County and writes regularly for national health magazines. She teaches classes in Sonoma County and works as a consultant to manufacturers of natural cosmetics. She's the author of Natural Skin Care, Alternative and Traditional Techniques. And we welcome her here today. Thanks for making yourself available.
Thanks.
I'm rather guessing that you may want to comment on what I was saying, because we were talking earlier about how to inspire people to take care of themselves.
Yeah, I think, compared to the show that was done last week, that was from dermatologists and a medical approach. This book is really, and my practice is based on more of a cosmetic approach, but, you know, what you and I were talking about earlier was that what I saw in my practice is, though I was getting women to take care of their skin via their health, meaning eating right and exercising and not smoking and all those good things we, you know, that help us, what I saw was not only did their skin improve, but their well-being improved as well. And it goes right along with what you were saying, is that these two things are very, very connected. And you really can't separate them. The skin is definitely a mirror. And I always used to chuckle. Sometimes I couldn't get people to take care of themselves for health's sake, but I could get them to take care of themselves for vanity's sake. To me, it didn't matter. Whatever way I could get them to, treat themselves better, it was fine.
What really struck me reading the book is that the types of lifestyle changes that you're suggesting in the book end up being very luxurious. At first, reading it, I think it's possible to think, well, I can't do all this stuff.
Right.
But in fact, if you really just read and look at it, what you discover is that you can fit some of these things in very nicely, because you're already doing some of this stuff, and that when you do some of these things, you're spending a little extra time touching yourself, putting like the warm compresses of the
I think that's the best thing.
It's an amazing sensation to do that.
It's wonderful and so simple.
It's very simple, and we'll discuss what that is that we've just mentioned.
Okay.
That's so simple, but the point I'm trying to make is that it gives you it's one of those things that can be viewed as a practice that brings you back into the moment. And there's a luxurious sort of caretaking side to it.
Yeah.
They're extremely simple things to do.
Yeah, it is a take care of yourself. I mean, there are a lot of take care of yourself kind of themes there. And something that you just mentioned about there being a lot to do, and there is a lot mentioned in the book, but as you and I were talking earlier again, that it's what people resonate with, and how I view this book, though there's a lot of information in it, is to pick something that resonates with you. Does this make sense? Does polarity therapy make sense? Does acupressure make sense? Does aromatherapy make sense to you? Because everybody responds to something a little bit differently, and I think there's enough choices in here that people can get started on something. And in that first chapter, it has that checklist for beautiful skin and the things that you can do to improve. In the back of that chapter is an evaluation form to kind of see how you're doing right now, and look to where you can improve, and then to start with one thing at a time. It's too much for everybody to try and get everything in order all at once. It's just, pick one and do that, and then once that becomes a habit, you can move on to the next one.
Well, again, as you just pointed out, what you've done in this book, since you do have this degree that you sort of designed in all these health modalities, since you've studied all of this stuff, is you've brought into the book, using the skin as a place to start, all these different traditional, some of them very ancient traditions of self-care, homeopathy,
uh-huh.
Bach remedies, aromatherapy, Ayurveda, polarity, massage, acupuncture, all of it's in there as it pertains to the skin. So one question that begs is, how do the various techniques that you describe in the book, and as I said, some of them are ancient, what do they have in common?
Probably that they're just working with the whole body. The things that are mentioned, and you had called them traditional techniques, and those are traditional techniques in as far as health and time goes, but in the context of this book, the traditional techniques are like washing, cleansing, toning, moisturizing, because those are traditional skincare techniques. But the things we were just talking about, those are the alternative techniques for skincare. And in this context, I've tried to point out how these are whole health modalities,
mm-hmm.
and yet there's some aspect of them that relates to the skin and that you can use to apply to improve the complexion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to answer your question, what do they all have in common? It's that they're working with the whole person. Actually, everything that is mentioned in that alternative section is something that is used for health as well. And
yeah,
the whole person.
In fact, the other thing I would throw into the mix is that for me, what they have in common is that they are attempting to attain a sense of balance.
Right.
And that the degree to which the skin represents an expression of things being out of balance, what you've encouraged in this book is for people to take a close look at their skin and therefore their general health.
Yeah.
And to evaluate where they are, what type of skin they have. We've got all these different ethnicities that have
mm-hmm.
different skin types, and then within even European people have very different skin types. So to evaluate what you are as a type, and then to explore the types that exist in some of these other traditions and see what types of health care styles contribute. Like, for instance, in Ayurveda, certain types use sesame oil, you know, and the other
right.
types will use it. And then you've got herbal things with emotional aspects to them and color things and stuff, so that people can begin to say, well, I tend to get tense. I'm going to gravitate toward this,
yeah,
or I'm,
yeah.
you know, I'm someone who is very steady and slow, and I need some stimulation, so I'm going to use this. So
yeah, and I think they're really fun things too.
Very much so.
Yeah, I think they're fun.
Well, they're not very hard to do. You're not talking about buying expensive materials either.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
these are things that are often under your nose.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So what we're talking about are lifestyle changes that can be made before spending a lot of money. Now, it is possible to spend a lot of money on your skin. And with all forms of healthcare, one of the things I try to stress on the show is what can you do lifestyle to make some real big changes without even doing something invasive like having a peel, which I wouldn't recommend anyway, or having some kind of laser surgery or something. What are the things that you can do? And there are certain lifestyle changes that you recommend in the book. And you mentioned just briefly smoking, and it might be interesting to mention it again since... Some people have children, and it might be interesting to have some fuel to discuss
that. Yeah, a lot of people don't, I don't know, it's funny, most people are aware that the sun does a tremendous amount of damage, and a lot of that was talked about at the other, you know, skincare show, and all of it is true. Sun is the number one thing that damages the skin or prematurely ages it.
Ages it, yeah.
And then people kind of don't know what the second one is, and the second one is smoking. Any health-conscious person is aware how much damage smoking does to your health, but I'm not sure that everybody is aware that what it's doing is suffocating the skin. And people that have smoked for a long time, they have kind of this gray, pallid complexion, and often plastic surgeons won't even work on people that have smoked on the face for a lot of years because there's no circulation. It doesn't heal well. It's really devitalized looking skin, and it prematurely ages the face. I mean, it
remarkably.
Yeah, they know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can see it in people even after they quit smoking because they have lines that are much finer and more invasive.
Yeah, the nutrients aren't getting there, oxygen isn't getting there. It's just it's really depleted.
One of the other things smoking does, along with impair immune function, is make it very hard for the body to process free radicals.
Yes.
It makes you very vulnerable to free radicals. And what they said in the show last week with the Balins,
uh-huh.
the dermatologist said, is that you can look at someone's skin and know how their immune system is handling free radicals and whether or not it's clearing things well, whether or not it is processing things well.
Right.
So it may even be, it may even be an indication of whether someone's going to end up with cancer.
Wow.
So smoking is free radicals.
Yeah, it's not good. And there's this long list of chemicals that are emitted from a cigarette when it's burning. And some of them, I mean, we know there's nicotine, but there's also like formaldehyde and cyanide. I mean, you know, it's cigarette smoking is just no good. I mean, what I tell people is if you don't smoke, don't start, and if you do smoke, quit, period. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to not smoke.
Yeah, even a little bit is really devastating.
Yeah.
To the heart muscle, and you lose bone, too. People lose their teeth.
That's right. I mentioned that before. And, you know, an interesting thing for women, and, you know, we're talking about things that we're talking about our appearance, and studies have been done because there's some kind of, the cigarette stimulates some kind of hormonal thing. Women develop more facial hair if they smoke.
Oh, boy.
So that's another one. It's like, no, we don't want that.
So attractive, yes.
Yeah, great stuff.
Very attractive. So what other kind of toxins should people try to avoid? What other sorts of things?
Well, alcohol is, you know, again, as was mentioned in the last skincare show, you know, it's really about balance, and alcohol is not a good one. And do you say, you know, stop all drinking all alcoholic beverages? And no, you say, you know, take it easy with it. Try not to drink a lot. It dehydrates you. And if you do happen to drink, really drink a lot of water to kind of counteract it because it dries the skin out. Alcohol is a big one. Exercise is critical. I mean, I know you have probably talked a lot about exercise, that the circulation is imperative for skin to remain vital.
Well, you can see it in people who train a lot. People who exercise look much younger.
Yeah.
Even if their skin is sun damaged from being exercising outside, they still have a vitality.
It has a life to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The appearance. It's so apparent. I mean, good circulation in the face. It just really, you know, it puts that color in the cheeks, and And when there is good circulation, it's bringing the vital nutrients there, so, and oxygen. So it's really, that is real important. Exercise is important too. And not to the point of, a lot of people can't work out with weights and things, but, you know, just walking is enough to get the blood going.
Actually, I think a lot of people can work out with weights. Surprisingly. No, I think people think they can,
yeah,
and then discover that they can.
Right. You're probably right.
Because there's a lot of different ways to do it too. But, I just quickly to let people know, this is KPFA FM, and I'm health integration specialist Lena Berman with Your Own Health and Fitness. I am on the phone with Joni Logren, who is author of Natural Skin Care, and we're talking about the fullness of what the skin means as an expression of general health. We're not just talking about how to make you pretty. We're talking about what it means to your health in general. One of the things I want to do is talk a bit about what we can actually do.
Yeah, some of the things.
We've talked about prophylactic stuff. We've talked about avoidance of certain things.
Right.
And it's clear that with children, you want to start early putting sunscreen on them, because it is the early years that determine what the skin will look like as you age. It's very, very much what you're seeing on a middle-aged person is what happened in their youth. So a lot of it is that. But then once you get to a certain age and these things are starting to surface, the question arises of how can you repair the ignorance of the past or the sins of the past? How much can you actually do in terms of getting it better? And that's a question I have for you.
Well, I think there are things that you can do, and more things are available. Now, the context of this book is that it's done with natural techniques. There are new things on the horizon. You mentioned laser resurfacing. There are those things that are going to be available. As we mentioned, facelifts may become a part of the past if they don't do that anymore. But in a natural context, I still think there are things that people can do kind of no matter what they have done in the past. But it's critical if you're looking for kind of a rejuvenating effect on the skin, you're going to start doing things to help it. In that process, you do have to watch the preventative things. Like, it won't do much good to do a lot of things to try and repair sun damage if what you're doing is still baking in the sun or not wearing your, SPF sunblock. So some of the things that you can do, one of the things is use really good quality cosmetics. People use, there are a lot of products out on the market. Some are not very good, and all you have to do is look at the ingredients. And I know your audience is pretty, health conscious, and a lot of them are shopping in health food stores. I think that the best cosmetics for the money are in health food stores, and there's a lot of wonderful brands, but you need to look at ingredients. You need to look for the things that you know you may be sensitive to. And I think two of the things that I would that I recommend people stay away from, just in generally speaking, are artificial colors and artificial fragrances for facial skin care. Both of those things are known allergens, and I think it's not a good idea to be using them on your face. So those are two things.
Another thing that I think people are not aware of is that if you are allergic to a food, like if people are gluten intolerant, there's a lot of wheat germ in some of the really good products. So you have to remember that if you put it on your face, it's going to end up in your bloodstream.
It can affect you there too. And some of the things that are normally good, as you mentioned, wheat germ is wonderful for a lot of people. It's very high in vitamin E. It's a rich emollient oil, but some people it's not going to be good for. So those kind of things, that's why you have to read those ingredients to see if they are okay for you. And I think simple is sometimes better than...
And I was going to say that, when I read your book, one of the things I got is that you can actually put together some skincare products of your own without a lot of effort.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about making a mask out of just honey.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And, I know women that just clean their face with olive oil. I mean, creamy cleansers and milk cleansers are an emulsion. It's a combination of water and oil. People with very dry skin, if they splash their face with water, a little bit, warm up their face with water, and then just use olive oil all over their face, and then, and rinse with warm water again and then pat dry, it'll clean off makeup and it doesn't strip the skin's natural oils off. So there are some very simple things that you can do.
I want to go back to the simple, inexpensive things, but I also want to do a quick thing of comparing some of the products that are available. We were talking about, the one that everyone hears about is there's citrus stuff, and there are citrus acids, and there are vitamin C things.
Yeah.
And then there's the alpha hydroxys, and people are going, what? Can you explain a little bit about how they can think about those things?
Well, alpha hydroxy acids, actually it was quite a long time ago that a Dr. Eugene Van Scott discovered their use he was a dermatologist working with people with a skin disease that is very dry, flaky skin, and he discovered that this glycolic acid would remove the dry, flaky skin, and this new skin would come to the surface. And so from that, you know, it made its way to the cosmetic counter, and they do work. I mean, alpha hydroxy acids do work. The AHAs are a series of acidic components, things like tartaric acid and malic acid, which is from apples, and lactic acid, which is from milk, and the glycolic acid, which most people are familiar with, is from sugar cane. But you're going to be seeing more. There's a lot of talk about beta hydroxy acids. And so, you know, there is a game in the cosmetic business. I mean, things have to be new, and they have to keep coming. We're not going to see anything quite like alpha hydroxy acids for a while, I don't think. I mean, they were really, really new, and they really work. I mean,
you should tell people what they do, because not everybody knows.
Yeah, the alpha hydroxy acids, they are acidic, and they break down this glue-like protein substance on the surface of the skin that holds dead skin cells there. The skin is constantly shedding, so what the alpha hydroxy acids really do is kind of just speed up the process. They don't seem to harm skins, the cells that are fine, that are new and healthy. It's just the dead ones that they kind of dissolve and help them to exfoliate, which is really what the alpha hydroxy acids are, is an exfoliating product.
Which means?
Exfoliating is just that the skin cells are coming off. It's helping them to slough off a little sooner than they would normally.
Right.
They work. And then you're going to see new things, like the vitamin C is part of that. But I think, you know, you and I had talked about earlier that vitamin C has been unstable in cosmetic preparations up until recently, and now they've stabilized it, and they can use the vitamin C so that you're getting the antioxidant benefits of vitamin C as well as the exfoliating properties. So this will be ongoing. I mean, we're just going to see new products. It, you know, it never stays the same, and new things are always on the horizon. But the alpha hydroxy acids were a particularly good one because they worked.
Again, you know, I think that we have an audience here who, I mean, what happens when you do some of these more invasive treatments like dermabrasion and laser resurfacing is that the skin begins to have, in some cases, it varies, a slightly mask-like appearance. It isn't like a facelift where it becomes so tight. But, you know, people become, their face is very white because they've gone down to layers of skin.
Yeah.
They have to protect the skin from the sun.
That's
and it's
right.
Suddenly very, very smooth, which...
Yeah.
I think sometimes looks unnatural. I don't think everybody wants that look. I think some people just want to not make it worse. So we go back to the sunscreens and being prudent about exposure, and knowing that if you're out in the hot time of the day, if you're riding a bicycle because you like to exercise outside and you're not going to wear long pants on a bicycle, you want to use the sunscreen. You may want a little visor cap to protect your eyes. So there's just this kind of, and you don't. The idea I think is not to lay out in the sun to get a tan.
Right.
You know. But going back,
being in the sun ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So it's, in terms of sunscreens, you had some interesting comments to make about ingredients of sunscreens.
Yeah. Most sunscreen, as you have mentioned before, are chemicals. And once you get up into the very high SPFs, 30s and the 40s, they will be chemicals. There are some mineral complete sunblock ingredients available now, titanium dioxide, it's white, and zinc oxide, which is what we used to see, you know, lifeguards put on their nose, it's white. They've micropulverized these minerals and made it so that they can use a certain amount and have it still be clear, but it cannot get up to the 30s and the 40s. So if you're going to need a 30 or 40, you're not going to find it with natural ingredients. The highest that I have seen titanium dioxide without any other, combined with any other chemical sunblocks, is about a 12 or a 15, and have it still be translucent on the skin. So again, that is an area that people are working on. You know, raw material manufacturers are working on natural sunscreens, but right now the mineral ones, which are like a total sunblock, I mean, if you can imagine, it's like ground up rock, super fine on your skin, so sun doesn't even get through it. It's not a screen, it's a block. And it's great. I love it. I mean, I'm glad it's available. And most of the people I've talked to have said the titanium dioxide sunblocks don't irritate their skin as much as the chemical ones. So.
Well, what about things like PABA and the ones that are from cinnamon bark and stuff? Those are pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, but they can be, in high amounts, they can end up be irritating. For people that need to do a 30 or a 40 for a period of time, I just say, you know, use it when you need it, and when you get back in, take it off. I mean, don't leave it on all the time.
Okay. And you're supposed to put it on in advance of going out,
too. A little
too.
Bit, yeah, about a half an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've been talking about evaluating skin types, and one of the things that I was struck by is that of the skin types, the skin type that is more oily, that blemishes easily, is the type that benefits from the most of the treatments that you mentioned in the books, like the homeopathic and the Bach remedies and the aromatherapies. You have all kinds of suggestions for that.
Oh,
you know
what that is?
Yeah.
That section is really a whole alternative section for people who have blemished skin.
Right. And I'm thinking, you know, instead of them taking antibiotics, which is very invasive.
Yeah, yeah.
So some of these things can be used instead of antibiotics?
Yeah, it is worth a try. You know, any kind of acneic situation is very complex. There is no one thing that does it for everybody. It can be food allergies.
Exactly.
It can be poor digestion. It can be, and there's usually a genetic thing there, but my feeling about genetic stuff is that what you inherit is the tendency. It still doesn't mean you have to have it. If you can somehow figure out how to fix the imbalance, that you can get past that. Sometimes people may go, oh God, my father had acne. I have it. There's nothing I can do about it. I think you just inherit the tendency for it. I don't think you have to have it. So there is a section in there that really talks about all kinds of ways to work with it. But, you know, I have had people do all those things and still have problems. It's a very complex issue.
Yes.
You know, sometimes essential fatty acid deficiency can do it.
Amazingly, yes. Yeah. Sometimes it's the good fats that are missing instead of avoidance of fats. Yeah.
And stress and uh-huh. I mean why it is erupting is different for everybody.
Exactly.
And I wish there was one thing, because it's devastating for people and particularly young women. I mean, it's just bad.
Could be hormonal as well. But
yeah.
The other thing is, to go back to something we mentioned at the top before we go to calls,
uh-huh.
is some of these things that you mention are so simple and you don't think of it, like don't rub your eyes, you know,
right.
the skin under your and these compresses, which,
yeah.
go ahead and just if you can in a minute describe
okay.
these compresses,
yeah,
because they're delicious.
I think those are great. You know, I call those, that's like the best kept secret in skincare. It is, compresses are, I mean, they've been used, you know, traditionally in herbal medicine for a long time, and it's just a way of, you basically fill your basin, you know, a sink with water, warm water, it can be just warm water plain, or you can put a couple drops of an essential oil in there, and you take a clean washcloth, and you get the cloth wet, and you hold it against your face. It's wonderful. It hydrates the skin. The skin it starts to age. I mean, really what is happening when the skin is aging, aside from sun damage that is breaking down collagen and elastin, it's dehydrating. It's drying out. And once it's lost its moisture, it starts to look old. So, but by doing these compresses, and I do them twice a day, morning and night, I do it before I go to bed, it hydrates the skin. And, of course, with any kind of essential oils in it, you've got this wonderful aromatherapy as well as hydrotherapy treatment that is so simple, and it feels so good.
Yeah, it feels really good.
Yeah, doesn't it? Isn't it
yes.
great?
It's very meditative.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there are great things in this book, including that and simple suggestions like what you add to your bath water to keep your skin moist. Joni Loughran's Natural Skin Care book is published by Frog Ltd. And when we come back and start taking phone calls, what I'm going to do at the very top when we come back from our break is have Joni give out some numbers so that you can reach her if you want to get involved in any of her classes or whatever. A reminder of what we're doing. I'm health integration specialist Lena Berman on KPFA FM, Your Own Health and Fitness, interviewing Joni Loughran and talking about natural skin care. A variety of techniques are available. And we're going to open up the phone lines now at 510-848-4425. Again, 510-848-4425. We're going to take just a little musical break here to give you time to jump on the phone with your questions. We'll be right back. Vas-tu bien caché, dis que non la rondelle. Où vas-tu bien caché, dis que non la rondelle. Cache-toi donc dans la huche, cache-toi donc dans la huche. Il sera point trouvé, dis que non la rondelle. Il sera point trouvé, dis que non la rondelle. Welcome back. This is Lena Berman, host of Your Own Health and Fitness on KPFA-FM. I'm doing a show on natural skin care with author of the book Natural Skin Care, Joni Loughran. We're just going to the phones here in a moment. We've opened up the lines at 848-4425 for you to participate in the show and ask Joni some questions. What I want to do right before we do that is give Joni an opportunity to give out some numbers. So if you want to reach her, because she does have a private practice and does do classes. Joni, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you're doing?
Okay. I do teach classes at actually a chain of health food stores in Sonoma County. And if you want to find out about those, you can call me on my business line, which is area code 707-765-6986. And I also have email. If people are online, the email address is natskncr, which is abbreviated Natural Skin Care, at wco.com. And did we give the publishers?
Yeah, the publisher is Frog LTD, and why don't you give out the number for that?
Okay, that's in Berkeley, and it's 1-800-337-2665.
Okay, so if people need to reach Joni to either find out about classes or to see her privately, her number in Petaluma is 707-765-6986. And if you want a toll-free number to get hold of her book, which is out in paperback, it's 1-800-337-2665. Again, the name is Natural Skin Care by Joni Loughran, and her last name is spelled L-O-U-G-H-R-A-N, Joni Loughran's Natural Skin Care by Frog LTD. All this stuff is going to be at the front desk of KPFA when the show is over, if the receptionist is there. You get it through the receptionist at 848-6767 in the 510, unless she's broken for lunch, in which case you have to call back. All right, let's see if we can get some callers on here to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Let's move to our first one. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm
Go
here.
Ahead, please.
Hi, I'm a 35-year-old woman, and I have I think what are clogged pimples, but I've had them for several years now, and I went to a dermatologist and was told that I really couldn't get them, they couldn't extract them.
Wow.
So I don't know if you have any suggestions about how to, this was just
they, are they white?
There's no apparent head, but okay. I know that they were pimples at one time, and I just didn't have them taken care of right away, and now... So
is,
I don't
is this
know.
A job for steaming, or is this where you finally say maybe a facial's in order?
It could be, yeah, really qualified facialist to look at it. They, you know, facialists, they do extractions, and I'm not quite sure I am visualizing exactly what it is that you have. There are things called whiteheads that people think are pimples, but they're not, and they just are a clogged pore, but it just remains white, but it's not infected. Pimples tend to get infected. Were these at one time infected and...
No,
but they're a little bump.
Uh-huh. It looks almost like a mole, but without the discoloration.
Oh. So, but it's, yeah, see, whiteheads are white, and this is not.
No.
I.
So a quick suggestion for her, what she might think about?
I think seeing a qualified facialist would be the best. So without being able to see it, I know compresses are wonderful to help, you know, bring things out, but I'm not sure what this is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there are circumstances where going to someone who does a facial is not just, as we said early in the show, for vanity. It's also to help really clear the skin.
And a qualified facialist will know when they want to send you to a dermatologist. The other thing is that you may want to see another dermatologist. I mean, you may want to get a second opinion. When people tell me no, there's nothing that can be done about situations, it always makes me a little suspect.
Uh-huh. Can you recommend any qualified facialists in San Francisco?
Maybe a better idea, instead of her making a specific reference, would be just to give people some ideas of how to look for someone, huh?
Right.
Word of mouth is really the best that I have found is start asking people who they, you know, do they know anybody that does one that is good. There are Dr. Hauschka facialists it's a specific type of training for doing skincare, and they tend to be very good. Anyway, I don't know anybody in San Francisco that is doing those, but...
And also, there's along with anybody that touches you, it's such a specific kind of thing. Somebody will work really well for one person and not for another.
Yeah,
that's why it's so hard to do referrals.
Yeah, I would really start asking, you know, talk to people, ask for, as I said, maybe get another dermatologist to talk to, and maybe, you know, it might be good to look in the phone book to see who is saying what about what they're doing. But it sounds like it should be looked at and to see just what is going on there.
Okay, caller, thank you so much for your call.
You.
Let's get another caller on the line. Caller, go ahead, please. You're on KPFA.
Yes. I have a couple of quick questions for you.
And the first one is, are there any particular foods that are especially good for the skin? Number one. And number two, in the past I've heard about cucumber slices being laid on the eyes and on the faces, and I'm wondering if cucumber has any particular...
Cucumber and tea bags,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, the cucumbers on the eyes, is that's a real thing. Actually, cucumber extract is used in cosmetics. It's cleansing, but it's also hydrating. It has, you know, nutrient value. It's a good thing for the face. Yeah, and the cucumber slices cold on the eyes really is helpful.
For bags.
Yeah, and to hydrate the area and kind of cleanse, and yeah, it's good. And the cold is contracting. That's why the you know, when there is kind of puffiness, the cold is what kind of changes that.
And
what about
nutrition,
some particularly good foods that are good for the skin? Foods. The foods that you want to, cleansing foods, I mean, actually, you know, I probably couldn't separate it. It's really got to be a complete diet. You've got to have the protein to build new tissue and to have the skin stay healthy. The vitamins and minerals are all real important. So it's hard to separate it out. But if you have a really good diet, the things that are important to make sure you're doing a lot of is water, because that is going to be your internal moisturizer. The other one is called essential fatty acids, and it's an oil that is not actually flaxseed oil is rich in
flax, primrose and fish oils.
Yeah, and we often are not getting enough of those in the diet. And my experience with my clients have been when I've recommended essential fatty acid supplementation, the skin really improves.
Joni does go over in the book what different vitamins do for the skin, so getting a copy of her book would give you some of that information as well. Just keeping in mind that diet is an individual thing, and some people have allergies need different types of diets, too.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's get someone else on the line. Caller, are you with us?
Well, yes, please. Greetings. Two questions. What is the effect of chlorinated versus unchlorinated water for bathing and showers and tub baths? And second, what is the use of aloe vera gel straight from the fresh leaf?
Good questions.
Okay, let's do chlorine first.
Uh-huh.
Chlorine is actually there's a lot of stuff being done on chlorine right now. I mean, they don't think it's a very good thing for us. Not good to be breathing, and probably not too good to be soaking in or bathing in. It does evaporate after a while if you use standing water, but it's drying for the skin. I mean, if we're talking just the skin, it's drying for it.
Right, so swimmers really have to be careful.
Yeah, and rinse off well, and then put lotion on, you know.
And you know that a question I had was, what would happen if you took? Because I noticed in your book that some oils are absorbed well. Like you mentioned, some vegetable oils, when you keep them cold and you use them as a moisturizer, actually do absorb into the skin, which is kind of interesting to know.
Yeah, some of them are very refined, like hazelnut oil. You rub it on your skin, and it just kind of gone. You know, it doesn't stay too much
on
the surface.
You mentioned some of the more common ones too, like sesame and what was almond.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is, what about for swimmers if they put a little bit of almond oil on their face?
Before they go in?
Uh-huh.
I think that's an excellent idea.
Oh, good.
It is a good idea.
Okay.
I think that's a good thing to do.
And then what was the second question? chlorinated water.
And what was the second?
Are we getting signals from the... do you remember what it was? No? Oh, dear.
Is he gone?
Yeah, he went away.
No.
I think he wanted
Let's
to.
Let's think for a moment. Aloe vera.
Aloe vera. Oh, bless you.
Okay.
He said straight from the plant, which is a good idea.
Yeah, straight from the plant. Okay, that is obvious. I mean, the number one use is for burns. Aloe vera is a wonderful skincare product, but used straight and fresh all the time tends to irritate the skin.
Mm.
You just can't use it all the time that way. It's very concentrated. It's very active. It's got enzymes. There's all this stuff going on with it. Great for burns that way. I think aloe vera used for skin care, for facial maintenance and stuff, is really best to be used not straight and in a product. But it is a great skincare product.
There's a little anecdote about aloe vera. There's a song from the Bahamas about a woman who fell into, a sort of middle-aged woman whose skin was very sort of sun-damaged.
Uh-huh.
You know, they describe her in very bad ways in the song. It's a Calypso song. But she falls into a vat of aloe vera. And by the time, you know, they don't know she's there and it's on a ship or something. And by the time they get to port and they take her out, her skin is so taut and firm that she runs off with a 21-year-old.
Woo!
Yes. Yeah, so it's very funny. It's a Calypso song.
Where did you hear that story?
It's a song that I heard from the Bahamas many
How
years ago.
Cute.
Very, very funny song.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah. So let's get some more callers on.
Okay.
Caller, go ahead, please. You're on the air with Your Own Health and Fitness.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have had these sort of mask of pregnancy brown spots on my face, and I recently went to the dermatologist and had her look at it because I'm not pregnant. I was pregnant 2 years ago and gave birth. My child is now 2 years old, and I'm not on the pill. And the only external estrogen I think I'm putting in my body is lots of tofu.
Well, but so that is you are taking an estrogen then.
Because, well, so she said to me that she prescribed like a Retin A hydroquinone product to kind of fade the spots. And, you know, and I'm sort of worried now, you know, that, you know, why do I have this extra estrogen in my system? And could it be just from the soy products, or is there something else going on?
Can I say something?
Evaluated?
Joni, let me just say one thing.
Go ahead.
We're going to be doing a show next week with Dr. David Zava, and we're going to talk about weak estrogen, strong, you know, what do you do, how do you... But one thing to think about is that, I know he's going to mention this too, is that most of the good studies about soy have to do with miso, which is fermented soy, where there isn't a lot of, it's different, it's changed, and it's a lot of the cancer protective. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is, in the studies that they've done in these countries where they're saying Asians eat a lot of tofu, they don't eat a lot of soy products, they eat miso. And if you're loading up on soy, you're eating a lot of estrogen. If your body's already a little dominant, you might want to, as an experiment, cut back to once a week or avoid it for a while and just have some miso from time to time to give you the protective effects and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'll let Joni go now.
And tell me again the question.
Brown spots.
The mask of pregnancy.
Ah, the mask.
Brown spots. And
okay.
Like I said, I don't have any estrogen sources aside from soy products.
Okay. The hydroquinone is a chemical bleach, and I don't feel real good about it. It's to be honest, it's not super effective. I mean, and the thing is, it may fade those things a little bit, but then the minute you go out in the sun, it's going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're, it's really unfortunate. Those masks are very, very difficult to change. There are some new bleaching products that are coming out that are it's a fermented thing that has a licorice extract in it, and I've seen it in the raw material trade magazines, but I haven't seen a product with it yet. And you may want to start kind of looking for that or asking for that. It's not a chemical bleach, and it might be worth doing. But the thing is that the sun is aggravating it. And it, I don't know if you've noticed, is it lighter in the winter when you have less?
Well, you know, I swim year round, and I use a 45 block, and then I put zinc oxide on top of that.
Okay, so you're protecting. Well, that's good. Unfortunately, that's one of the things that is very difficult to change by any kind of natural means. But as I said, they're doing a lot of research on it, and it's actually becoming a very popular thing. So because of that, I mean, having the skin be light and real even toned, very popular in the Orient right now. And I think with that, we're going to see a lot more research and probably some new ingredients come out that are better than the hydroquinone.
Great. And I'll also listen to the program next week and see if I can get any information.
Yeah,
the hormonal stuff is worth looking at because, as we said at the top of the show, the skin is a reflection of what's going on in the body.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, short of the fact that, as I said, some people have a comfortable used look on their face because they've spent time outside or something. That's different than seeing little eruptions and stuff.
Okay, great. Thanks
for your question. That was good. Yeah, I'm interested.
That's a tough one. It's very difficult, and it is prompted by hormones. That's how those, you know, because it's pregnancy or even on the pill will aggravate that.
Just briefly, since we've got a little space in here, it's Your Own Health and Fitness on KPFA FM, and I'm interviewing by phone Joni Loughran, who is author of Natural Skin Care, which is the whole range of things that can be done. We haven't even talked about the acupressure stuff around the eyes, the reflexology on the feet, you know, all the stuff that you can do to really take care of your health and have that expressed on your skin. We're now taking phone calls at 848-4425, and I'm Health Integration Specialist Lena Bourbon. Let's go ahead with some more callers. Caller, go ahead, please.
Am I on the air?
Yes.
Hi. I've been pretty careless about my skin. I tend to just wash with whatever's in the shower, fragrance soap, whatever. I'm really terrible.
Yeah.
And my skin is a little dry, probably from the fragrance soap. I don't know. So how often would you recommend washing the face and with what?
Good question.
Okay. This one, I'm so opinionated on this one. Soap is really not good for the skin. Soap is very alkaline, and it just strips every little bit of natural oil you have on the surface of your skin.
Even liquid soap?
Oh, yeah, even liquid soap. I mean, soap, and soap detergent, the liquid things, the foamy things, you know, the stuff, even the stuff that says, you know, gentle on the skin, doesn't strip. The best cleansers. Can I ask you how old you are?
Almost 39.
Okay. My guideline for this one is anyone past 25 needs to use a cleansing milk on their skin, which is an emulsion of oil and water, and it cleans. It'll clean off makeup. It cleans off everything else. I have noticed one of the things that I did with my clients is that the people that were using soap, I had them get off soap, and I am telling you, you will notice a difference in your skin within a week. I mean, it will be softer. It'll be smoother. Soap is actually, you know, a good way to describe what soap is doing on your skin is, you know, how what it feels like when soap gets in your eye.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's doing to the surface of your skin, is burning it.
You know, one of the reasons I use it is I like the smell. I realize that it's partly because the smell relaxes me, so I need to get the smell some other way.
Yeah, well, you know,
maybe you can find a cleansing milk that just smells real good. And they're called cleansing milks. They're available at the natural food stores. There's a lot of nice ones out. And if you found one that was unscented, you could put a couple of drops of an essential oil that you really like the smell.
Yeah, and especially because if you get Joni's book, you can even match the smell to what kind of an emotional thing you want going to. The other thing is that there are recipes in Joni's book. You know, I wanted to ask you, Joni, about making a cleansing milk, whether it's possible to do it without using milk or cream. Can you just emulsify water and oil somehow? Is there another way to do it besides using milk?
Doing it in your own house?
Yeah, if I wanted to make one for myself.
A cleansing milk.
Yeah, and what if I'm allergic? What if we're talking about someone who's allergic, maybe?
You know, even milk, whole milk with the cream still in it is on cotton balls is a good
thing. Yeah, but if you've got people who are dairy intolerant or wheat intolerant, which many people are, is there a way to make a cleansing milk just using oil and water? Is there a way to emulsify it with another carrier?
No. At home, it's hard. Materials aren't available to just home people.
So you go look for something.
But you could just shake it, really, or blend. You know, I mean, what it is that those fat molecules get very tiny and they get broken up into the water. I mean, if you could get it with a blender, just shake it super, super good, you know, that would be a way to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get another caller on the air. Caller, go ahead with Joni Loughran, please.
Hello. I was wondering what you would suggest for dandruff. I also recently had an eye exam, and they said that there was dandruff around my eyelids, and I was wondering if you would consider that to be a skin problem.
Wow.
And I'll take my answer off the air. So.
Thanks.
Lena?
Yeah.
I you know, the second part of that I didn't hear.
Oh, she was saying that she has dandruff around her eyelashes, too.
Okay.
So she's got this, I mean, isn't there a number of reasons? She was asking whether that was a skin problem, and my impression is that there's a number of reasons why that can occur.
That's going to probably be a nutritional thing.
Well, there's nutrition, and there are some infestations that you can get. There
That's
are
right.
some bacterial
yeah.
infections
Definitely.
And other types of infections. So that has to be sort of thought through. You have
yeah.
to find out whether it's dandruff because of diet or dandruff because you've got an infestation of some sort.
Yeah, that should be checked out.
So maybe see a dermatologist for that, but I would look at both nutritional and health aspects on that one. And, you know, the other thing I thought was interesting is you mentioned when you're washing your hair not to let the soap from the shampoo, no matter how gentle it is, get on your face because it's a detergent.
Yeah.
So no more washing your hair in the bathtub, you know.
You just have to keep your head tipped back. It takes some practice, but, you know, I mean, see, there again, that's one of those things that people would never guess. You know, they treat their skin real, real carefully and are using cleansing milk so it's not drying, and then they shampoo their face and it runs right down their face. So, that you just have to rinse with your head back.
Mm. Get some more callers on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to know what you might suggest if a person is being exposed, say, to poison oak through an animal, but if I do have poison oak, it's been like 8 months of kind of coming and going, and I wonder what you might have to suggest for that.
You mean like if you what to put on it to just help it feel better?
Well, no, to treat it more systemically, how to both prevent, you know, like clean the animal in some way and to...
Your dog or cat is bringing it in?
Yeah.
And what happens, I mean, they just bring it in all the time. Can you wash them?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Is there something I should be washing her in? Or?
No, I mean, nothing. Soap, actually, Fell's Napa soap is the one that we used to always do at day camp, you know, to get rid of the poison oak. But and it's not good for dogs to be washed all the time, but if they're chronically in it, it would make it kind of hard on them. But Fell's Napa soap is good. Actually, any soap will help break up the...
Yeah, just wear gloves when you're using the soap. But it's also, you might check with a natural vet. There are some in Marin and various other places. There are vets who specialize in natural stuff. The other thing you might want to look into is using homeopathic remedies to help desensitize yourself.
Uh-huh.
From the poison oak. There are remedies that are akin and also that can help you with allergies. And you might even check to see if there are things that there are homeopathic vets and other vets who do natural stuff to see whether there's some way to desensitize the dog.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
I would look into it. I don't know if it's going to be a panacea because that's a difficult one.
Yeah, it is. That's a tough one.
Because it gets on your couch and everything. So.
Yeah, right. Thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get another caller on. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm wondering, I have some problems with skin tags on my neck, and I'm just wondering what causes those and if there's anything that I can do to prevent them.
Skin tags.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a friend that also had those, and
what are they, Joni?
You get different explanations for what they are. They are just an overgrowth of skin, and they're not a mole, and it's like just this little floppy tag. And
handle.
And I did some research on them. I really didn't find anything that I thought was real definitive, and I talked to a couple dermatologists, and they snipped them off, and it was just sort of like they just happened. I mean, it was kind of, I never was really satisfied with an explanation, so I don't know what is going on there, but I would see a dermatologist. It is an overgrowth of skin cells, and my understanding that it's a benign situation.
I didn't see anything in the Balin's book either, the book I did last week, The Life of the Skin. I don't think I saw anything on skin tags either, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've been looking into it, and I haven't found anything either.
No, it's sort of an eluded thing. Maybe because it is benign, it hasn't drawn a lot of attention. I don't know.
Yeah, I knew somebody that got them when they were pregnant, and then they fell off after they were done.
Yeah.
So maybe it could be something to do with the hormones.
It seems like everything has to do with the hormones.
Yeah. yeah, we're pretty much at the mercy of them.
Kind of soup. All right, caller, thanks.
Thank you, bye.
Okay, let's get another one on. Caller, you're on the air with KPFA.
Oh, hello. I had a couple of quick questions. One was, I guess it's a kind of personal question, but what about showering every day? Like, I know there's no big hygienic kick, and, you know, everyone wants to be real clean all the time, but I just feel it really is drying to the skin. And the second one is there a big difference between males and females as they age in their skin?
Only that men can be craggy and sexy, and women are not considered sexy when they get craggy.
Yeah, why is it? Why do men get better looking?
Yeah, how come Clint Eastwood is so sexy, and when you see women that look like that, they're not even allowed to appear in front of other people.
Tell me the first question again.
Oh, it was just on a daily shower.
Daily
a lot
showering.
Of people, you know.
Okay, this is what
about
how
it, and is it really? Is it damaging to the skin?
No,
at all,
this
or?
Is how I feel about it. I think it's fine to rinse off in water once or twice a day. If you're soaping your entire body every single day in the shower, then no, I don't think it's good. Soap is really drying, and you know, we've been talking about facial skin, but it's also real drying on the body skin too. And what I tell people is, you know, soap your feet and under your arms and any place that, you know, you feel is dirty, but like on the shins and on your back and on your chest. And I mean, don't soap the entire body. It just isn't that dirty. And I think rinsing is fine. I think rinsing in water is fine.
You also like people to take baths, don't you? And soak and put maybe a little oil in the water if their skin is dry.
And that's very hydrating, but you don't want to be there too long and that water can't be too hot. And that's a wonderful thing too. But again, you're not soaking in soap. I mean, that's bad. And then the other one was men and women, and well, as we kind of were already joking about, men tend to age better than women.
I don't know if they age better, you know, but it is true that testosterone tends to give the skin more oil.
Yeah, they do. They do.
But you know what?
Have been done. Men do age better.
I'm not buying that they age better. I really do think it's societal, because I mean, we, you know, anyone who's dated in middle age, I think will agree that.
Well, no, actually, the physiology of male and female skin, there is a difference.
Really?
And men's skin does not age as fast as women.
Well, then we should get credit. I mean, we should be allowed to be craggy.
That's right.
Oh dear.
So
we wouldn't have a skin industry then. Take that all away. Okay, well, we can just take them for being better that way. And there's such a range in what happens with people's skin, too. It's so different depending on their ethnicity and the color of their skin. And, you know, which is, well, brings, we've still got callers, though, so I'll have to ask you these questions on my own.
Okay.
Let's get some more callers on. Caller, you're on the air with Your Own Health and Fitness.
Yes, can you hear me?
You bet.
Okay. Two things. One, I had for a long time red irritated eyelids, which would fit the description of having dandruff on my eyelids, and I'd like to tell you briefly what I did, and it worked really well. I went to a dermatologist, and he had me clean it off with baby shampoo, and then he prescribed a thing called Maxitrol. It's a light steroid that you put in once a week, and it absolutely cured it up.
Well, except that what you're really talking about is treating symptomatically something that may have an origin somewhere, like allergies, or an infestation, like I said before.
Okay, but that woman ought to, I would strongly suggest that she go to a dermatologist. I went to the University of California over in Okay, anyway, that's my suggestion.
Okay, and then real quick for the second one, because we're out of time.
I have isolated dry spots on my face. I eat a really good diet and everything, but on the sides of my nose and in the middle of my forehead, I tend to, about half the week, I have it, it's dry and scaly.
Okay.
And I put oil on it occasionally, but the oil irritates it more. Like if I want to go out to a dance or something, I do that to cover it up. But is there anything I can do for that?
Okay, cool.
What are you using to clean your
face? Well, Joni, this has to be real fast.
Okay. Use something to clean your face that is very non-drying, and I would go with something that is a little more soothing to the skin than just oil.
For instance?
Yeah.
Well, you might look at some of the health food creams.
And essential fatty acids in the diet too.
Okay, caller, we got to stop. Thanks. Joni, we're clean out of time.
Okay.
I want to thank you for making yourself available.
Yeah,
Joni
you,
Loughran, author of Natural Skin Care, who can be reached directly in Petaluma at 707-765-6986. And that number's at the front desk after the show at 510-848-6767. Joni, thank you so much.
Thank
You're just
you, Lena.
A great guest.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
A brief reminder, if you missed parts of the show and you want to get a tape or you need to reach me during the week, you can call during normal business hours. The number is 707-769-1458. Again, 769-1458 and 707. For a list of other available shows, send a self-addressed stamped envelope, business size, to P.O. Box 2714, Petaluma 94953. Next week, I'll be back with more about hormonal health, this time for both genders. I'll be interviewing the scientific director of Aaron Labs, Dr. David Zava, and we'll be talking, among other things, about male menopause or andropause, and along with female stuff, too. I'm Lena Berman. This has been your own health and fitness talk show on KPFA 94.1 FM. See you next week.